The word begin reading in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." And let's read now from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath never been one like, neither shall there be any more after it, even in the years of many generations." And on the same subject, let's hear what the Lord Jesus says: "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened." Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and of His eternal word. Wonder where it's all going. Is it making sense? Is it going in a direction? Or did we just happen to be meandering around in space? Are we just this little planet called Earth, and us little peons that look like ants on it, just wandering around in space and wondering what's going to happen? We live, we die, we go back to the earth, and nothing more. Is that it? Well, I'm afraid it's not. The truth is, my friend, that history is going someplace. There is an object to it all. There is a purpose and a design to all of it. And I can tell you, we are coming to the climax of the ages. All of the things that have happened throughout history, all the things that human beings have been part of, is coming to a place of climax. It's going to end, and it's going to end not because the computers fail, not because the United Nations says so, not because any group of people on the earth said so, but because the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who is in charge of all that there is, that person, the Almighty God, is going to call the shots and decide when the end comes. But as the end approaches, you're listening to Daniel, you're listening to Joel, you're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If you turn over to the back of the Bible, to the book of the Revelation, you look in that book and you see that the end is coming to a climax, and it ain't pretty. It's not one of those fairy tale things where people got up and lived ever after. The truth is, my friend, that the history of the world is coming to a climactic end, and men and women from an earthly standpoint have not much hope, have not much way to turn, not much to hang on to. If you only could hear from the scientists, if you only could hear from the politicians, God help you if you could only hear that, if you only could hear from earthly man's viewpoint where the earth is going and what's going to happen to the human race, my friend, you would be depressed. You would have to be depressed. In fact, Jesus prophesied that men in the last days would be depressed. He said that men's hearts would be failing them for fear, looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about global warming and all that. Well, You say, how do you feel about it? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said in the last days, the sun would be given power to scorch the inhabitants of the earth. So, you know, that's something to think about. If the Bible says it, the scientists say it, wow, they don't get on the same page too often together, do they? Because the scientists are always trying to explain away God. Well, my friend, if you read Daniel, Joel, Zechariah, Jesus, John in the Revelation, and the others, my friend, you have to understand that this whole historical thing is coming to a climax, and it's going to be a horrid thing in the end. In fact, Jesus says that if it was not for the fact that God could shorten that time, there would no flesh be saved. Now that's a dramatic time in history, isn't it? Something so bad that if God doesn't intervene and stop it and put an end to it, that no flesh would be saved. But he said, but for the elect's sake, that time would be shortened. And there's never been a time, Daniel says, Joel says, Jesus says, there's never been a time on the face of the earth that's like the time that's coming on the face of the earth. Never was before, never will be since. And you say, well, maybe all that just applied to Jerusalem in AD 70 when it was destroyed. And it's true that some of Matthew 24 applies to Jerusalem and to Israel in AD 70 when the Jewish nation, when this temple and the city of Jerusalem were destroyed. It does apply to that. It's applicable to that. But then on the other hand, if that had been all that there was, then Jesus should have come 2,000 years ago. It should have been all over with. It should have been done with. But the truth is that he didn't come. Jerusalem was destroyed. It was a horrible time. It was a time of starvation, a time of siege. The Roman army stood outside for ages around Jerusalem, and the people in Jerusalem literally thirsted and starved to death. They ate shoe leather. They cannibalized bodies. They did horrible, horrible things to stay alive. And in the end, they were all destroyed. The city was destroyed. Signs appeared in heaven above and the earth beneath. There was a comet that looked like a sword that hung for months over the city of Jerusalem during that siege. There were times that the gates of the city of their own accord, with no one there, just simply opened up and the enemy could come in or they could walk out, and it was so dumbfounding, everybody just stood and looked at them. There came a time when the Roman legions standing around Jerusalem backed up. No one knows why to this day, but they backed up and stood back. And while they stood back, the Christians remembered the words that Christ had spoken. Pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day. You see, if that was talking about the end of the world, what difference does it make whether the end of the world comes on the Sabbath day or on Wednesday? Pray that you be not pregnant. What does it matter whether you're pregnant or not when Jesus comes? Well, and he goes on to say, you know, pray that your flight be not in the winter. What does it matter if Jesus is coming, the end of the world is coming, whether it's winter or summer? Well, the truth is, it's going to be winter or summer someplace. There are going to be pregnant people someplace. There are going to be people that are on the Sabbath day. All of those things are going to happen. And that was true of the Jews in Jerusalem. That has nothing to do with the coming of the Lord at the end. But he goes on to say, but immediately, and that's the word he uses, immediately after those days shall the sign of the Son of Man appear in heaven. Now, that tells me that that part of it is for the second coming of the Lord. I testify to you today, my friend, Jesus Christ came here, born of a virgin, lived a human life, died on a Roman cross, resurrected on the third day, and ascended into heaven. And I testify to you that he is coming back again. He said, I will come again. Remember that? John chapter 14. I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this horrible time is so bad that he says, pray that we would be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. Wow. So what's going to happen to the earth? It's called the Great Tribulation. There shall be great tribulation. Somebody said, what is tribulation? Well, that thought hit me. You know, we just take words for granted. We say them, and then we don't know what to do with them. You know, if you had to define it, could you define it? What is tribulation? Well, I'll tell you where the word came from. It came from when they thresh wheat. You know what it is to be flailed. That comes from a flail. That's a thing that has a hinge in it and two sticks, and the top stick and the bottom stick don't move together. And if you go out and beat the wheat with it, it will come out of its husk and it will thresh it. So tribulation comes from the threshing. The word comes from the threshing of wheat, and it means to press or to push or to exert force upon to bring the wheat out. It's a threshing. Now, we're talking about the human beings of the earth going through a time that they will be threshed, that they will be beat, that they will be pressed. And my friend, more and more every day I can see, and sadly, we're not talking about in a third world country. We're not talking about in a world where there's, you know, a dictator and people don't have anything to eat and people don't have anything to wear and they don't have any economy. We're not talking about some little country down in South America or over in Asia. We're talking about the United States. We're talking about the most prosperous, the most rich country, the best fed people, the best bathed people, the best smelling people. The best of everything has been given to us. And yet when you look at the American people, you find ourselves feeling that we're in a press. There are more people under medical care for psychiatric reasons in the United States than any other thing. Isn't that a sad thing? Isn't that a sad thing that the richest, most powerful country in the world has a head problem and a heart problem? Isn't that sad that we find ourselves in a state of wickedness and disobedience to God and fighting against God in these last days? You say, well, I'll tell you one thing. When people start seeing that hail fall from heaven, size of a softball, and they start seeing all these plagues and all these terrible things happen, said, buddy, people will get right then. People will be sorry then that they did it, and they'll be calling on God then. No, they won't. Have you ever been to a wreck where an out-and-out sinner was in the wreck? You say, why you would say that? Because you would think when somebody's in a disaster, somebody's in a wreck, somebody's in a trauma, you would think they would be praying that God would move and help them. They curse. You know why? Because that's what they're used to. That's the only language they know. They live a life of cursing. They live a life without God. They live a life without God being there. And when something bad happens, they curse. And the Bible says that they will curse the God of heaven because of the plagues. They will not repent because of them. They will not turn. Why? Because they're not used. What's your lifestyle used to? Is it full of cursing every day? Is it full of unbelief every day? Do you just do whatever the flesh wants? Do you just throw a temper tantrum whenever you want to? Do you just yell at somebody whenever you want to? Do you just live any old way you want to? My friend, when the chips are down and you get caught like that, that's exactly how you're going to react to it. Now, people that are sanctified, people that are with God, people that are living the life with God, they find themselves in those situations. They know how to pray. I'll never forget Brother and Sister Hill used to be in the Church of God down at Naris, and I was at the Dairy Delight. You remember when it was called that. And I looked across the street, and Doc Runyon's had a Amoco station over there, and it was sort of a bend there. Well, they'd been on a long trip and had the grandchildren in there, And when Brother Hill came around the curve, he went to sleep and he went between the signs and just crashed right between the signs. And of course, we ran as fast as we could to the car, and we got there. Guess what I found? I found Sister Hill had jumped the seat into the back seat with the grandchildren, had those little grandchildren up in her arms, holding them against her breast, and praying. You could hear on the top of Bunker Hill praying. I mean, she was calling on God. And you say, how come that was her reaction? That's what she did every day. I happen to know that that's what she did every day. That was not an unusual sound that Sister Hill was making. She was praying because that's what Sister Hill did when anything went wrong. In fact, is one day they lived over in Selco Heights in one of those rented houses and that Conley Snyder had, and John Stafford's wife, Elizabeth, we called her Aunt Pig, she heard somebody praying one day, just desperately praying. She said, what in the world has gone wrong? And she ran to the window and looked out, and between the houses was a little garden that Brother Hill and them had. And it was wintertime, and you know how it is when the cabbages are gone, the stalks are down in the ground, and they're just stuck there. One of Brother Hill's and Sister Hill's little girls was out there and had a hold to that cabbage stalk, and she couldn't pull it out of the ground. She knew what to do. She heard people pray. If something happened, her mother prayed. If something happened, her daddy prayed. If something happened to somebody and they needed help, she prayed, because that was their lifestyle. And Aunt Pig said she looked out the window, the little girl was down on the ground and had that cabbage stalk and was praying for fare-thee-well. Well, that's kind of cute, isn't it? Hey, that's wonderful, because the kid knew to pray. You know how come she knew to pray? Because that's the way they lived every day. They prayed every day. She heard people pray every day. She knew about people praying every day. They took her to church, and she heard people pray in church, and she knew what was going on. And so what do you do when you have a problem? You pray. Let me ask you this. When the fire's falling, when the hail is falling, what's going to happen? People that are in the world are still going to be in the world. They're not going to have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They're not going to have the power of God in their lives. And so they're not going to turn to God. They're going to turn to what they do. They're going to curse because the plagues are falling. They're going to curse because of the situation they're in. And so the Bible says that wicked men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now that's a sad thing to say, isn't it? That it's not going to get any better. Human beings are not going to get any better. I mean, who has a child pornography problem? Not poor, disadvantaged third world countries, but rich countries like the United States or European countries. Who has the problems of mentality that go on? The rich countries, the affluent countries, the people who have plenty. My brothers and sisters, a dangerous time to be alive. So he says, pray that you be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. And I look at some of the folks that have passed away and gone on to be with the Lord, and I say, they escaped. They're out of here. Their calling and election is sure. They have made themselves ready. They are there to go. They are gone with the Lord, and everything's all right in their life. Now, immediately after the signs, and you say, what signs is this? Well, there are general signs. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. He said there'd be famines. There would be pestilence. There would be disease. There would be earthquakes. It's coming to a climax, and all these things are increasing. If you believe the scientists, you're going to believe that within the time of your grandchildren, Manhattan's going to be underwater. If you believe the scientists, by the time your grandchildren are grown, the New Orleans is going to be underwater. I mean, the ice caps on both poles are melting. The sun will be given power to scorch the earth in the last days. But if you notice any record that needs to be set in the disasters of weather, it's been set in your lifetime. Not in your grandparents' lifetime, not in a great-grandparents' lifetime, but in your lifetime. They have calculated how many hundreds of times more every year we have earthquakes than they did in the year Christopher Columbus came to America. My friend, I don't know why we don't listen. I don't know why we can't see what is happening. Because what is happening, my friend, is the sun and the moon ultimately are going to be darkened. Ultimately, the atmosphere of the earth is not going to be what it should be. Ultimately, my friend, the earth is going to shake, but not the earth. The heavens also are going to shake. My brothers and sisters, all you can do is what? Get ready? No. Be ready. Jesus never said get ready. But he said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, your Lord doth come. Be ready. Now you say, well, we have to get ready. Yeah, you do, but you have to be in a state of preparedness. It's too late when the fire is falling, when the hail is falling, when the heavens are being rolled back as a scroll, when all the earth's shaking and the heavens are shaking and all those things are going on. It's a bit too late to start living a godly life then. It's a bit too late to say, well, I'm going to straighten up my house and I'm going to get rid of this porn and I'm going to start praying three times a day and I'm going to start reading five chapters a day. That used to be the rule here. And I'm going to do all this. My friend, that's too late. We're waiting too late. We need to make ourselves in a state of preparedness. Right here and right now, because immediately after these signs, immediately shall the sign of the Son of Man be in heaven. And everybody's going to say, phew, thank God Jesus is coming and it's over and all of this war and all this disease and all this stuff is going to pass away. That's not it. When they see the sign of the Son of Man coming, the tribes of the earth shall what? Mourn. And people will pray for a place to hide from him and hide from his eyes and hide from his mouth and hide from what he's doing. When armies gather against Jerusalem and Jerusalem becomes a burdensome stone to all the people on the earth, when Israel is under fire from the nations marching down from the north, my friend, we should be out of here by then. God is not pouring out his wrath on his church. He's not a wife beater. God is not pouring out the tribulation on his people. He took Lot out before the brimstone fell. He took Noah into the ark and shut the door before it started to rain. My friend, God is getting ready to take his children home. Are you ready to go with him? Are you praying to escape the things that's coming on the earth? Are you ready to leave? We used to sing, getting ready to leave this world, getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. And sometimes I think maybe Jesus is involved in that, and so we sing Jesus getting us ready for that great day, who will be able to stand. My brothers and sisters, when I look at what's going on the earth and I consider that the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him, then we shall see, and this is what I'm looking for. What? We shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Won't it be wonderful? I can't imagine what that's going to look like. I can't imagine how that's going to be when he steps out from the glories of heaven, walks across the Milky Way, and brings himself with all of the holy angels and the glorious light and all that's going on there shining out and the clouds rolling back. I saw that once before I was saved in the night hours, but I can't tell you what he looked like. I can only tell you it was glorious. I was 13, 14 years old, standing on the side of Angel's Rest, looking out over this county, and it was desolate. Everything was desolate. Cars, trucks, tanks were just shelled. They were just burnt to a crisp. Trees, vegetation. Have you seen pictures of Hiroshima or Nagasaki after we dropped an atomic bomb on them in World War II? The devastation, as I stood on Angel's Rest and looked out over this county, it was all like that. It was all burned and dead and nothing living and nothing there. And I discovered in that moment that He was coming, and I could see in the glories of heaven and in the brightness of the clouds that He was descending from heaven, and I wasn't ready for Him to come. I was living a life, not a bad life, not a mean life, but a life that was not prepared for the coming of the Lord. And I began to cry out, and I was not asleep and I was not dreaming anymore. I was wide awake in my little half bed in the back room there where I slept at home. And I was crying out to God with this huge weight that was on me, screaming for God to save me. My brothers and sisters, don't wait till the world's on fire. Don't wait till the brimstone is falling and the earth's trembling and the clouds are rolling back and the stars are falling and the moon's turning to blood and all that. Don't wait till that happens, my friend. It's too late. Be ready today for the coming of the Lord. And what's going to happen when that happens? Then the angels are going to put the trumpets to their mouth. And the angels are going to blow the trumpets. And the angels are going to go out over the earth. And what are they going to do? We sing a song sometimes. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. That's exactly what He's going to do. He's going to gather His people from the four corners of the earth. He's going to gather His people and bring them in and go to be with Him. My friend, when the world's on fire and the brimstone is falling, when the earth is shaking and the heavens are shaking, and when the moon is hiding its face and the sun is blacking out and the stars are falling, my friend, where will you be? Where will you be? There used to be an old song, "Where will you be when the last trumpet sounds? When it sounds so loud it could wake up the dead, where will you be when it sounds?" So I ask us this morning, are we ready? Have we made the necessary preparation? Are we living a lifestyle that if He came today, and you have to think about it, that not if He came a week from today, not if He came next year, not if He came next millennia, but if He came today, if Jesus returned this afternoon, could you go with Him and escape from the earth? My friend, when He comes for His church and gathers His jewels home, if you have not made the necessary preparation, that's the load. That's the load, my friend. There's not another train coming down this track. Would you be ready for Him to come? Would your family be ready? Would your children be ready? Have you warned them? Have you told them? Or would they be like Lot's children, laughing and making fun of the whole thing? My brothers and sisters, I ask us today, when the gathering comes, will we be in the gathering? Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will convict our hearts. Lord, that You will draw us to You as only You can. Father, place within our souls an absolute abhorrence of not being ready to meet God. Place within our souls a desire to be ready when the Lord comes and when He calls. Father, place within us a burning zeal to warn our neighbors, our friends, our fellow workers, and especially our loved ones, that Jesus is coming and we need to make our calling and election sure. Father, we ask Your blessings on this message. Father, that it go to the world and the world hear the message of God. Lord, that people's lives will be repentant lives, that we will turn to God and repent of our sins. Father,
that our lifestyle will be a lifestyle that will be welcoming the Savior when He comes. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we give praise and glory and honor forever. Amen.